with him. Therefore, he refers to Adam as the Son of God in the genealogy in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38. He says, "And Adam, the Son of God." And so it is that Jesus came to make possible what the law, nor what human effort could not make possible, and that is to make us sons of God, children of God. And this morning I just want to share a little bit about what it is to be a son of God, a child of God. And I want you to understand what that is. And I want you to understand what it means. There's a story of a little boy that Vance Hardner tells that he was constantly looking at a picture of his father on the wall. His father was constantly away on business trips, and he kept looking at that picture, and one day he was looking at that picture and he said, "Mama, I wish Daddy could come out of that frame and be with us." How about you? Is that your concept? Is that your image of Jesus? Is that your image of God? He's some picture on a wall, some model, some creed. But you've never really known him as a father. You really never have experienced the true love of God. Or maybe you have experienced Jesus as your God as your father, but you've never experienced the fullness of that love, the fullness of that relationship. What it is to be an adult son or daughter of the living God. And in today's message, it's going to come out of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And I've entitled it, if you want to give it a title, I've entitled it Daddy, Daddy. And I thought a little bit and I was going to call it Daddy, Daddy, Who's Your Daddy? But I just thought Daddy, Daddy would suffice. But let's bow our heads and pray before we get into the text. Father, we thank you so much that you are our Daddy. Thank you, Lord, that you have such a sense of humor and you love us so very much. How grateful we are that we can call you Daddy, Abba, Papa this morning. Because indeed you truly are our Daddy, our Abba, our Papa. I pray if there be any here, Father God, who just see you as a picture on some wall, as a creed, as a model, that you would become more than that to them today, Father, that you would become the living, vibrant Daddy of their lives, that you would rule and reign in their lives, and they would have that intimate love relationship, that unique relationship with you. Father, as we get into your word today, we pray that our hearts would be open to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to transform us. That our ears would be open to hear what you, the Spirit, would speak unto our hearts and to our lives, Lord God. And that, Father, we would leave here changed for having been in your word and having been under your teaching, Lord God. Lord, I above all need your teaching, your instruction. So, Father, we come to you humbly before you, not making demands of you, but simply saying, Lord, here we are to hear from you. Speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Galatians, Paul is writing for one specific purpose. He is writing the book of Galatians to counter the teaching of legalism, a relationship with God through legalism, and he is coming to counter it with a relationship with God through love. You see, in the book of Galatians, Paul says he is dumbfounded by the Galatians' reaction that they would so easily be bewitched, that they would want to go back under legalism, under Judaism, after having come to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's going to counter legalism in Galatians. And in this section of the text, when we get to Galatians chapter 4, he's going to begin to deal with the doctrinal aspect of what it is to have God as your father, to be adopted as sons into the kingdom of God. As we go over this text this morning, we are going to see that God has an appointed season. We are going to look at God's anointed son. We are going to see God's adopted sons. That's you and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And then we are going to look at God's awaited summons, when we will finally inherit the ultimate inheritance that is awaiting us, and that is eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. So let us open up our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. And for context, let's just go ahead to the beginning of the chapter. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differentiate at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What does it mean to be a son of God? There's some that would say, well, we're all children of God. Whether we're Buddhist, whether we're Baptist, whether we're Jehovah Witnesses, whether we're Mormons, we're all children of God. Well, the fact of the matter is that we're not all children of God. We are creations of God. But we do not become children of God until we are born into the family of God through regeneration. Jesus speaking in John 3:3, He says, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we enter the family through regeneration, that is, through the new birth. But then we are instituted into the family as adult sons, as adult children, with the full privileges and rights as sons of God through the adoption of the Spirit. Now, a lot of people, when they hear the word adoption, they think of a stranger being taken from out of an orphanage that someone has selected and says, okay, I like that child. I want to make that child a part of my family. They go to the court. They go through a legal process whereby the child is legally adopted into their home and is raised as their son or their daughter and given the full rights of inheritance when they become of age. While the word for adoption here is a different word. The word for adoption here means the placing of a child of a family into full adulthood to be in line to receive the inheritance. You see, it was back in the Roman days, in the days when Galatians was written, that the Roman law was that a child born into a household was put under the care of slaves for a season of time until he reached 14 years of age. The father would tell the slave what to do, the slave would tell the child what to do, and then when Paul in the beginning here, he says, a child is no better than a slave, he was making mention of the fact that the slave told the child what to do. The child wasn't telling the slave what to do. He was still under the care of a slave, though he was part of that father's household. Then when the child became 14 years of age, that child would go through another ceremony whereby he would be put under the care of a curator, of a guardian, someone to teach him what it was to be an adult, how to live as an adult, how to make adult decisions, how to do all the things necessary to live as an adult. And when he became the age of 25, then an adoption ceremony took place whereby the child of that father was legally put in the standing of heirship, of being an heir of that father. You see, that child was not legally able to receive the inheritance until he became of age. And so when Paul gets into this doctrine here, when Paul gets into this message here, he's talking that we, when we were children of God, trying to obey the law, trying to live and be good before God under the law, trying to follow law, trying to follow human effort, trying to follow everything that was possible in ourselves to be good enough, to be in line for the inheritance, that we were nothing better than slaves. But then there came a time when God said, in the fullness of time, God decided it's time now. I'm going to send forth my son Jesus that they might be put into the family as a full-grown adult sons. I want you to understand something this morning. When we were sinners and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our condition after that was we were spiritual newborn babies in need of growing in Christ. But our position was, and our position is that we are full-grown adult children of God, having access to all the inheritance that is in the kingdom of God. We have the access to the inheritance of the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the riches of God, the mercies of God, the grace of God. All that God has, all that God is, we have full access to that only through Jesus Christ. Not because we're good enough, not because we're hard workers at the being in church or giving money to the church or we do good works. You see, if we were able to become full adult children of God simply by our works, simply by what we did, we wouldn't have needed Christ to die on the cross for us. But you see, the text takes up here in verse 4 and it says, when the fullness of time was fully come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The first thing we are going to see is that God has an appointed season. When it says, when the fullness of time, what's He speaking of? What is He referring to when He says the fullness of time? Well, some say the fullness of time was the time given so that man could realize in the 4,000 years from the fall in the Garden of Eden until Christ came, that man could realize that the futility of his own efforts to make himself right with God was impossible. It was never going to work. You see, from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 till the coming of Christ was 4,000 years of history past. First there was the fall, then came the law. The law wasn't able to do it either. Human effort wasn't able to save man. So God in the fullness of time decided, okay, I got to take care of this problem. I got to take care of this issue. I love mankind so much. It has always been my intention, it has always been my desire to have a unique relationship with mankind. Therefore, I will give the solution, and that solution is Jesus Christ. So when the fullness of time came, that is when God determined time, perhaps it was because the Roman worlds were in place at that time. When Christ came, there was the Pax Romana. That means the Roman peace. Peace permeated the world in as much as peace could permeate the world. There was a Roman roads. There was a highway system whereby messages and mail and communications could readily travel across the Roman Empire. There was one unique language to the world. It was the Koine Greek. So there was the ability to communicate in the language of the common people across the world, whether they be slaves, whether they be masters, whether they be lords and businessmen, or whether they be merely servants. There was that common language. So part of that could be that when the fullness of time came, God saw the opportune time when the ability to spread the gospel message was more readily accessible and available to the world as a whole. Because remember, this is a gospel for the whole world. It is a gospel that is given to mankind, for it is God's desire that mankind have a unique relationship as sons to Him. So He goes from there, and it says in the fullness of time, so whatever the reason that God chose this specific time in history, God sent forth His Son. Now this denotes the preexistence of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has always been. Jesus Christ is now, and Jesus Christ will always be. Unlike some that say that Jesus is a created being, that He is a creation of God, that He's merely like some angel that was created by God, Jesus Christ is the ever-existent, self-existent, pre-existent, everlasting Son of God that has always been, and He will always be. There are some out there that would have you to believe and have me to believe that Jesus Christ is merely just another Son of God, little God. That He is not the Almighty God, the Everlasting God, the True God, the Only God, which He is the only true Everlasting Almighty God. He's not some mere little God. He is the Living God, come in human flesh, born of a woman, which speaks of His humanity. Sent forth from God speaks of His divinity. He is divine, fully God. Born of a woman speaks of His humanity, speaking that He is fully human, yet He is fully God. There is no blending of the two natures. He is not 50-50. He is not 50% God and 50% man. But He is 100% God and He is 100% man. And there is no blending of the two natures. He is God Almighty. Yet He came in human flesh, born of a woman, but this also makes reference to the fact that He was born of a virgin, as was prophesied back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when God said, when He was doling out the punishment for the disobedience, when He said, and her seed shall crush your head, speaking to Satan, speaking of The woman's seed, the seed of the woman. Notice it was not the seed of the man. He did not say, his seed shall crush your head. He said, her seed. And so here, 4,000 years later, God is making a revelation that Jesus Christ is who Jesus Christ is purported to be. He is the everlasting God that God had set in motion way back when, way before the foundations of the world. God's unique planning, unique desire was that you and I would be sons of God, children of God, full-grown adult children with the full rights and the full privileges to all the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven, and that God, He Himself, would have the full rights and the full privileges to all the responsibilities and all the rights and privileges as a full-blown father to you and I. And what are the implications of that? Well, there's a lot of implications of that. As full-grown children, we have the rights to the inheritance. We have the rights to our Father's love. We have the rights to our Father's protection. We have the rights to our Father's counsel. We have the rights to our Father's comfort. We have the rights to our Father's presence. And the Father has the right to counsel us. The Father has the right to correct us. The Father has the right to be present with us. See, so there's implications on both sides of the coin, if you will. And so when here in the fullness of time, God being born of a woman, born under the law. What does that mean, born under the law? Well, it simply means that He had to become in every manner like you and I so that He would be able to redeem us from the curse of the law. So that He would be able to buy us back, if you will. You see, in the Roman culture, there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire during this time when Galatians was written. And a person could go and buy a slave either to make him a slave in his own home or to set him free. He could buy his liberty. He could pay the price of a slave, buy that slave and say, okay, I make you a free man. Charlie, you're no longer a slave. You're now a free man. And you see, that's what Jesus came to do. The text here says that God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, to buy back those who were under the law, which is you and I. We were under the law. The law was our guardian. The law was our curator. The law was our master. We had a list of do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do that. Don't wear this, wear that. Don't do your hairstyle like that. Do your hairstyle like this. Don't wear this jewelry, wear that jewelry. You know, and there was all these rules, all these regulations, just like a child. He says, when you were children, you were no better than the slave. The word children, there is a word napios. Quite literally means a toddler. How many of you know that a toddler by nature doesn't know when it's time to go to bed? I mean, they might wear themselves out and wear you out in the meantime too, and you might fall asleep before they do, but they don't know when it's time to go to bed unless you tell them it's time to go to bed. So they needed someone to be a guardian, to be a law over them. This is what the law was. The law was to show us that if we couldn't keep these sets of rules, these sets of regulations, these doctrines, these lists, that it was impossible for us to be right with God. There was no way possible that we could keep them. Because even if you failed on one point of the law, you were guilty of violating the whole law. You could live your whole entire life perfectly under the law. But if on your deathbed you did one thing that was contrary to the law, you might as well have broken the law the whole life because you just ruined it right there. It's impossible for man to save himself. Therefore, God sent His Son Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, to buy us back, that we could have salvation, that we could be set free. He bought us from the place of slavery to the law, to freedom in Christ Jesus, in whom the Son sets free indeed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if the Lord's Spirit dwells in you, you are a free man in Jesus Christ today. You are a free adult child of God, a son of God. You see, there's a distinction between the word child and son. The Bible in the translations doesn't make that distinction too clear, but a child is there again, that napios, that toddler, needing someone to tell him when to go to bed, when to get up, when to bathe, when to wash his face, when to eat his food, when to eat his spinach, when to do this, when to do that. That's what the law was, and that's what the law does. And there are people that try to live under the law to this day. There are people that say, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I also want a rule, a set of rules and regulations that I can measure my progress with God in. If I hold to these rules, to these lists, to these doctrines over here, then I can measure in my progress and I can see, oh boy, I'm doing very well. Just like a kid. When the kid's growing up, you know, they put the tall giraffe with the ruler on the wall, and they have the kid come and stand, and they get a pencil, and they mark it this week. And next week, the little kid's kind of trying to tippy-toe because he wants to be a little bit taller next week. And so they're trying to measure the progress and the growth. And that's kind of like what the law is. It's trying to measure that progress and that growth based upon what we do or what we don't do, the things that we follow and the things that we don't follow. And here what Paul's trying to counter is that we don't have to live like that. That we can live in an intimate, loving relationship with God, free from the trying to measure up. Now, I don't know what kind of fathers you might have had when you were growing up. Some of you may have had attentive fathers. Other of you may have had absent fathers. Some of you may have had caring fathers. Other of you may have had cruel fathers, callous fathers, cold fathers. Some of you may have had fathers that were present, and others of you may have had fathers that were far away. You may have had fathers that were living in your own home that supplied for you as far as they put food on the table, they put a roof over your head, but they didn't have time for you. They were too busy. And there's all kinds of fathers in this world. There's the fathers that are there, that are attentive, that spend time with their kids, and then there's the fathers that are distant. They don't spend time with their kids. The kids are a nuisance. The kids are always in the way. The kids are intruding in their time. They're selfish fathers and they're selfless fathers. There's all types of fathers in this world. And you know, you and I both know it's a fact. We know it's true. You just have to look on the news sometimes. And you read about the father that put the kid in the microwave because the kid wouldn't shut up and try to microwave the baby. You read about the other father that the kid wouldn't be quiet, picks the kid up by the foot, and slams the kid's head against the wall till he beats the baby to death. So you have fathers of different kinds out there. And it's a sad reality of the age and the generation we live in, that we live in a society where there is a breakdown of the family. But I want you to know that God our Father is nothing like that. So whatever your concept of the Father is this morning, or what it is to be a father this morning, don't base your concept of what God is like as a father based upon what your father is like or was like, whether he was there or wasn't there, but base your concept upon what the Word of God says your Father is like, your Heavenly Father, that is. That He is a God of mercy, that He is a God of grace, that He is a God that will never leave you or forsake you, that He is a God that will never cast you out, that He is a God that will never reject you, that He is a God that is never too busy to spend time with you, that He is an approachable God that you can come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and help in your time of need, that He is a very present help in the time of need, that He is a God of all counsel, that He is a God of wisdom, and you can come to Him. And knowing that this is the God that wants to be your Father this morning. This is the God that has adopted us as His own sons into His family. First, He gives us a new birth. He puts us through the ceremony whereby we are made full adult, grown children of God with all the rights and privileges of the sons of God, of full-grown children of God in His kingdom. And that's who you are this morning. You see, God is not just some picture in a picture frame. He's not some watercolor Jesus on the refrigerator. He is a true and living God that wants intimate access and relationship with you. So Paul goes on to say that He has given us the spirit of adoption to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So first we looked at God's appointed season, God's anointed son. Now we're going to look at ourselves as God's adopted sons. You and I are God's adopted sons. We've been given full rights and full inheritance in the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never been born again, you are not a child of God this morning. And I'm going to tell it like the Bible tells it. The Word of God says that if you are not God's child, then you are the child of the devil. There is no other father that you can have. It's either God or it's either the devil. There is one kingdom or the other, the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. You see, the Word of God doesn't make no bones about it. The Word of God doesn't hem and haw around the edges of this subject. The Word of God makes a distinct, clear declaration that those who are born again, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, are indeed the sons of God, the children of God. And those who have not are not the children of God, but they are the children of the devil. And you all know where you stand this morning. It's not for me to decide. It's not for me to determine. It's not for any of us in here to decide and say, she's a child of God. Oh, that person way back there, he's a child of the devil. Well, I can just tell by looking at him.
That's not for us to decide.
You see, you know, and I know, where we stand. If you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, if He is your Lord and Savior, and you have placed your faith in Him, and you have been born again, you are a child of God in condition, you are a newborn babe in Christ, if you're a new believer. If you're a little bit older, you might be a toddler, you might be a little bit older, you might be a mid-teen, a tweeny, an in-betweeny, in between an adult and a teenager. And there's some that are 5 years old that want to be in-betweenies. You know, they want to be 25. But you know where you're at spiritually right now. But I come as way of a reminder to remind you of your relationship with God, your privileges with God as your Father, as your adopted Father. That word adoption again, I want to remind you what it means. It means you are born into the family, but now you are put into the place in line for inheritance as full adult grown children of God. You see, before you know Christ, you're not even born into the family. Unless a man be born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're not born again here today, in a few minutes I'm going to give you an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be born into the family of God. That way God can adopt you into His own family, place you in line for the full privileges, the full rights, the full inheritance as children of God. But up until that point, up until you make that decision, I want to remind you something. There is an appointed season. God's appointed season. We're living under that appointed season right now, but there is coming a day when that time will be no more. Whether through death or the consummation of time, that is when time as we know it has come to an end, then that season of time will be over. Then the fullness of that season will be past, and it'll be too late. Today is the day of salvation, for tomorrow may never come. Choose ye this day whom you will serve, Joshua tells the people of Israel. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I say to you this morning, choose ye this day whom you will serve. If you're not serving God this morning, if God is not your Father, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior this morning, then hear my voice this morning. And hear what I have to say this morning. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Today is the day of salvation, for tomorrow may never come. And not by way of means to try to scare you into the kingdom, but I want to speak in reality this morning that you could be driving down that road this morning when you leave church, not having made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and get hit by a Mack truck and go into eternity, and your opportunity to be under the season of God's time will be past. That's the reality of the world we're living in. The reality of the gospel is today is the day. Today, if you hear His voice speaking, today if you hear His Spirit calling, do not harden your hearts. But answer the call and say, I want you in my life as my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my Father. I want you to be my Abba, my Daddy, my Papa this morning. I want you to buy me back from my slavery to sin. And set me free as a son of God. And so as we look at this, we see that as God's adopted sons, we have the full rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. If you were to be born again this morning, your condition will be you're a newborn babe in Christ, but you are also positionally a full-grown adult child of God with all the rights and access to the kingdom of God. You see, you don't need to wait till you grow up spiritually before you can call upon the name of God and ask Him for help in your time of need, or ask Him for wisdom, or ask Him for grace, or ask Him for mercy, or ask Him for any of the blessings of the inheritance of His kingdom. You begin to live eternal life immediately when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Eternal life for you begins. And it began for us the day we said, Jesus, here am I. Save me. As we look at the progression of this, Paul goes from talking about us being adopted sons to us being given the Spirit of His Son Jesus in our hearts, whereby we're able to cry out, Abba. Oh, what beautiful word, Abba. Daddy. Papa. How that warms the heart of God, I'm sure, as a child when he comes to his daddy and he sits on his lap. You know, most kids will learn to say mama most often before they learn to say daddy, but most daddies are over there, say daddy, say daddy, say daddy. And why is that? Because there's something beautiful about that when a child calls his daddy, daddy, papa,
Daddy. Daddy. My daddy. No, that's my daddy. You know, my niece and nephew, my two nieces, one's 5 or one's 6 and one's 3. They're always arguing about whose daddy it is. My brother. No, that's my daddy. No, it's my daddy. No, I saw him first. My 5-year-old niece or 6-year-old niece will say, and my 3-year-old niece will say, but he's my daddy. And so they argue whose daddy he is. But you see, the thing is, the truth of the matter is, what a wonderful word that is. That word daddy is that word Abba is quite literally the equivalent of our word daddy. We have the right. We have such confidence in our relationship with God when we're living in liberty before Him that we can come before Him and we can call Him daddy. You know, I've heard people, I've prayed for years since I was 11 years old. I've always called God daddy when I've prayed. I've always said daddy God. I've always referred to Him as my papa, my daddy. I'm 44 years old now and I still call Him daddy and papa. To me, it's such a beautiful way to be able to approach our Father. You know, I remember growing up, I was in my mid-teens and someone said, Steve, you should never call dad. And you should never call God daddy or papa. That's disrespectful. Why? Familiarity breeds contempt. It shows a sacrilegious attitude in your heart towards God that you're calling Him daddy, that you're calling Him papa. Well, you know what? That's hogwash. He is my daddy. He is my papa. He's been a very present help in times of need in my life. He's been my counselor. He's been my comforter. He's been my security. He's been my protection. He's been my deliverer. He's been my hope when I had no hope. He's been my help when there was no other help. He's been my truth when there was no other truth to look to. He's been the only constant that has been constantly the same throughout my entire life. I was 11 years old when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm 44 years old now. That was 33 years ago. I remember walking into the school one day, a couple of weeks after I got born again, and I was telling my friends and I was telling my teacher about how I met Jesus, how Jesus loved me, how I could call Him daddy, how He was my papa. And I remember the teacher looking at me and saying, poor you. This phase will pass. This is just another phase you're going through. It won't last. It'll pass. Well, here I am 33 years later, and I wish I could see that teacher face to face and say, I'm still waiting. It hasn't passed. I'm still here. Jesus is still here. He's still my daddy, and I'm still His. So you see, we have that right and that privilege. Well, I heard a beautiful story this last Sunday. I happened to be on vacation. We were coming back. We stopped in Albuquerque and went to Calvary Chapel there in Albuquerque. Pastor Skip had just recently gotten back from a trip to the dedication of the Billy Graham Library. And also, during that time, he had the opportunity to go to New York City. Some lady that runs a prison fellowship said, Skip, there's this man that has been listening to your radio program for the past 15 years. And he really wants to meet you because he has put his faith in Jesus Christ and he has become a believer. And Skip said, oh. And she said, Skip, I don't know if this name is going to mean anything to you or it's not going to mean anything to you, but his name is David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, serial killer. For the past 15 years, he has been listening to Pastor Skip on the radio. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to meet Skip now that he was in New York. Pastor Skip had the opportunity to spend a couple of hours with him. Skip was telling us on Sunday. And he said, I left that place without a doubt in my heart, without a doubt in my mind, that David Berkowitz is going to spend eternity in heaven with me forever. And I want you to see, by this very simple fact, there may be some of you here saying today, but how could God ever love me? I've been too bad. I've done too many bad things. I've done too many wrong things. But I want you to know this morning, if God can love and forgive David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Killer, if God could forgive Jeffrey Dahmer, who in his last days in prison gave his heart to Jesus Christ and declared with his own mouth on a public broadcast interview that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, and that though he was sorry for all he had done in the flesh, that he was going to spend eternity in heaven with God forever because God was now his adopted father. God was his father. God was his Savior. So if you're here today and you think that you're not good enough? I have news for you. You don't need to be good enough. Jesus is good enough for all of us. And then there might be those here today that think, well, you know what? I don't need Jesus. Why? I'm good enough already. Well, remember, Jesus had to come because none of us can ever be good enough to get into the kingdom of God. To get that spirit of adoption, the only way to get that adoption as full-grown sons of God this morning is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then His Spirit will be sent into our hearts. See that picture there? God sends His Son. His Son comes to redeem us. And then His Son sends His Spirit into our hearts. You see the Trinity at work in our salvation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three, the three persons of the Godhead at work in our salvation. And as you look at this morning, not only is there God's appointed season, which we're under right now, not only have we talked about God's anointed Son, which is Jesus Christ, the only one that's able to save you, to give you the new birth, and to give you the spirit of adoption that you can be placed in the family as full-grown adult children. And not only have we looked at ourselves as adopted sons with all the rights and privileges, but now we're going to look for a moment at one of my favorite subjects. All of it's my favorite. The whole Bible's my favorite. But one of my favorite subjects is that awaited summons. What awaited summons, you might ask? That awaited summons. When we get the full inheritance, you see right now our souls, our spirits have been redeemed, but our bodies are still in a corrupt stage. Our bodies are still decaying. How many of you know this morning that you woke up with more wrinkles than you had yesterday? I looked in the mirror this morning and it was like, oh boy, get that Dove or that smoothing cream out and get me some of that Regenerist, and you women with your oil of Olay, and us men, let's not try to, you know, be quiet about it. We know we have our own products out there to try and avoid the wrinkles. You go to the men's section in Target or Walmart and you can find these things, you know, how to take the wrinkles off the sections for men. How to take the crow's feet from under your eyes for men. How to take, you know, and how to smooth out your complexion for men. Men, as a matter of fact, statistically, men spend more on beauty products than women. How many of you knew that? You can go verify that in some of these discount merchandising magazines. And some men spend more money per capita than women do on trying to maintain their ruggedly handsome good looks. And then I looked in the mirror, and when it shattered, I knew I was in trouble. But think about that for a minute. We spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy trying to perk up, plump up, hold up, and do whatever we can to keep everything up as the course of gravity starts to pull everything down. My niece, we were on a vacation this last week, and my niece, the 3-year-old niece, was with us. And she kept looking at me, and she kept going like this. And I'm going, what are you doing, sweetheart? And she goes, I'm trying to get those things on my forehead like you. How come I don't have those? Kind of reminded me that I'm getting old. That I'm decaying. That I'm falling apart. But there's some good news. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're on our way to heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed. But as far as right now, your body is still a mess. But here's the rest of the story. The best of our inheritance is yet to come. For the day is coming when God Himself is going to call us home. When the Lord Himself will descend. You see, He's not sending those sweet chariots swinging low for to come to carry us home. The Lord Himself will descend. With the voice of God, with the shout of the archangel and the trump of God. And I tell you a mystery. Those who are alive will in no way precede those who have already died in Christ. But in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we will all be transformed, and this corruptible will put on the incorruptible. And this mortal will put on the immortal. And then we'll be swallowed up in truth. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God that through Christ Jesus, It has been taken care of. And someday we're going to get new bodies that aren't going to get wrinkled, that aren't going to get sick, that aren't going to die, that aren't going to feel no pain. And so right now, if you're just walking through this life and you got aches and pains and wrinkles and bruises and cocos, like my niece calls them, and bumps and whatever you want to call them, hang on. Your redemption draweth nigh when Jesus will come again and the full inheritance will be realized and will send into His glory for our full inheritance. Finally, at last, completely full adult grown children of God inheriting the kingdom that was prepared beforehand for us who would trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news this morning? I want you to leave here remembering who your Father is. I want you to remember that He's your daddy. That He's daddy, daddy. And I'm going to ask it, daddy, daddy, who's your daddy this morning? Is Jesus your daddy this morning? Or is the devil still your daddy this morning? If the devil's your daddy this morning, you have no future to look forward to. You don't. You have no future to look forward to if the devil is your daddy. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, the only thing you have to look forward to is the final judgment when you will appear before God's throne. And the books will be open, and God will look into the book of life, and He will see if your name is written there. And if your name is not written there, you will be cast into the lake of fire where you will be punished forever and ever. And the only way to get your name written in His book is to receive His Son, born of a woman, sent forth from God, born under the law, who died to redeem us from the curse of the law so that we could become the full-grown sons and daughters of God today, and your full inheritance awaits you when someday not only will your spirit, which is already saved, but your body will be saved. Your body will be transformed and you'll be a new creation, completely new. You'll get a new body. You'll get a new inheritance, a new kingdom that you'll live in forever. Right now we're walking in this earth. We're not citizens of earth trying to get to heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you're a citizen of heaven going through this earth on your way home. You and I are on our way heaven-bound, heavenward. I want you to bow your head this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I don't want you to leave here this morning, this Father's Day. You don't have to leave here spiritually bankrupt. Spiritually, beggarly, poor. You can leave here today a child of God, a son of God, a full-grown adult son of God with or daughter of God with all the rights and privileges to the kingdom of God. I don't want any of you leaving here today thinking that somehow tomorrow, well, I'll wait till tomorrow because tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. How many of you know that the next 5 minutes is not guaranteed to any of us? Right now, only the minute we're living in, the moment we're in, is the only time that's guaranteed to us is right now. Right now. So if there be any here today that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to leave here adopted into His family, knowing full well today that you are a son, a daughter of God, and that your life has been changed and transformed, and that you belong to Him. And He'll give you that spirit of adoption today whereby you can cry out to Him, Abba, Daddy, Papa. And today you can start living in that new relationship where God is not just some model, some creed, some story about some old guy that you've heard but you've never put into reality, that He's never stepped out of the frame of the Bible to you and become a reality in your life. This morning, if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. So if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus and you would say this morning, I want to be born into the family of God. I want to be a new creation in Jesus. I want to be adopted by God. I want to have the assurance of a future inheritance and an inheritance that I can start living in right now. I want you to raise your hand right now and I want to pray with you. And I'm going to give you just a moment or two and then we'll move forward. I see that hand over there. Is there any others that would like to join this brother? You see, this morning he's going to walk out of here a child of God. He's going to walk out of here an adopted, full-grown son of God with all the rights and privileges to the inheritance in the kingdom. Is there anyone else here that would join this brother today and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want this new birth. And I want that spirit of adoption so I can cry out and call God my daddy, my father, regardless of what anyone else has done or what my earthly father may have been or may not have been. I today want to know this loving father, this real father, who will never leave me, who will never forsake me, who will never abandon me. I'm going to ask one more time and then we're going to pray. Is there anyone else that would join them? Then, brother, I want you to pray with me in your heart. And maybe you didn't raise your hand this morning, but I want you to pray with me if you want to invite Jesus into your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I believe in my heart that God sent you forth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem me, to buy me back from my spiritual bankruptcy. I give my life to you today. I know conditionally right now I'm a newborn spiritual babe, but positionally I'm a full-grown adult son. And so this morning I want to start living that life of relationship with you. Not of legalism, but of love. Where I can call you Daddy, Abba, Papa. I want to give you the praise and glory that today you are my Daddy. Today you are my Papa. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? Let's stand to our feet. And let's rejoice in God, for all of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes home. The angels in heaven are throwing a party right now. Let's join in with them because we have a new brother in the family of God. Amen? Amen.